Let's continue reading verses 21 through 35 of Matthew 18. In this last section of Matthew 18, the Lord gives a parable to answer the question of how often we should be willing to forgive someone who sins against us. Matthew 18, beginning now at verse 21. Then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved, and they came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?' And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." Once again, some background notes. In verses 15 through 20 of this chapter, we've seen the procedure a believer should follow if he or she is wronged by another believer. First, go one-on-one with that offending brother or sister. Then go with two or three other believers as witnesses. Finally, go to the leaders of the local church who have the authority to exercise discipline. It's in this context of church discipline that Peter asks how many times he should forgive a brother who has sinned against him. The rabbi said that a person should forgive an offender three times. You can pick this up in early rabbinic literature. Well, Peter thought he was going well beyond the extra mile here when he said seven times. The Lord said 70 times 7, verse 22. Now, some of your translations say 77 times. The Greek here could be translated either way. In any case, the point our Lord is making is hard to miss. We should be willing to forgive any number of times. We should never take our own revenge, Romans 12, 19. And we should always be willing to forgive. Now, notice I said, be willing to forgive. That's the key. To be willing to forgive does not mean that you don't do something about it. What do? You follow the procedure that we've just seen outlined in verses 15 through 20 of this chapter. Some Christians think that to truly forgive an offender, you do nothing. That's not taught in the Bible. Now, there may be cases where you choose not to do anything. But we've seen, right here in this passage, we've seen that our Lord gives us a three-step procedure to follow when you've been wronged. Matthew 18, verses 15 through 20. We start with a willingness to forgive even as we take step one. Listen to the way our Lord puts it in Luke chapter 17, verses 3 and 4. "Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you, saying, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." Luke 17, verses 3 and 4. Note, if he repents. Well, what if he doesn't repent? You follow the procedure of Matthew 18, verses 15 through 20. This is your option and authority from the Lord himself. But the key to your peace of mind and freedom from a root of bitterness And freedom from taking revenge is a willingness to forgive. This is just another way of saying to forgive in your heart. But remember, to be willing to forgive or forgive in your heart does not mean that you are forced to do nothing. There is a procedure to follow. More we could give for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points. Doctrinal point number one, a forgiving spirit is surely expected by our Heavenly Father. A forgiving spirit is surely expected by our Heavenly Father. In order to illustrate the forgiving spirit that is expected of his disciples then and today, our Lord gave a parable of a king who had a servant with a huge debt. In the parable, the king obviously represents God. And the man who owed millions of dollars by today's standards obviously represents us. We are in debt to God because we have sinned and have nothing to pay. In that day when a person couldn't pay back a debt, he could be thrown into debtor's prison and his wife and family could be sold into slavery until the debt was paid. In the parable, the king shows mercy to the servant and forgives him the great debt. Notice how verse 32 refers to that debt. What an illustration of our great debt that God is willing to forgive. Because Jesus went to the cross and died for our sins. He paid our debt. In the parable, the man now goes out and finds someone who owes him the equivalence of less than $100, maybe even $20, and begins to choke him and demand immediate payment. He showed no mercy and had his fellow slave thrown into debtor's prison. This action proved that the man had not really responded to the grace that had been shown him. And the king then threw this unforgiving man into prison until he should pay his whole debt, which was impossible. Now, do you see the lesson? If we have truly responded to the grace of God and received his forgiveness, then we should have a forgiving spirit. It is expected of us. In fact, it is proof that we have entered the family of God. If we don't have a forgiving spirit, it is evidence that we have not truly repented. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, we are exhorted there to be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Ephesians 4, 32. A forgiving spirit is surely expected by our Heavenly Father. Doctrinal point number two. An unforgiving spirit is severely judged by our Heavenly Father. An unforgiving spirit is severely judged by our Heavenly Father. Verses 32 through 35, once again. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you?" Then his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my Heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Now comes a big question. Does the unforgiving servant here in the parable represent a believer who loses his salvation or a believer who is disciplined and loses his reward? Or an unbeliever who ends up in hell? We know that he does not represent a believer who loses his salvation, because that would be a contradiction to the rest of Scripture. In favor of the interpretation that he represents a believer is the fact that he is forgiven at the beginning of the parable. Therefore, in this view, his being thrown into prison at the end of the parable would be interpreted as discipline in this life and or eternal loss of reward in the future. The problem with this view, of course, is that in the parable, the man is handed over to the jailers and tortured until he can repay the debt, something he will never be able to do. This sounds more like eternal hell than loss of reward, doesn't it? And there are a number of other features about this parable which would indicate that our Lord had in mind an unbeliever or professing servant here and not a true believer. Notice that it is a parable of the kingdom of heaven. Verse 23. Remember, the kingdom of heaven is not heaven, but the sphere of Christendom now, where we have the true and the false, the wheat and the tares, the wise and the foolish, the true servants and the false professors. Furthermore, notice the attitude of the man in verse 26. He did not say, I can't pay, I have nothing, I deserve to go to prison. What did he say? Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. This is certainly typical of unbelievers who think that they can work their way into heaven. And then the man never really repented and received forgiveness, as his attitude and actions proved. The man was forgiven in the sense that the king took care of the debt, but not in the sense that the man repented and received forgiveness. He never did. He was untouched by the king's mercy. In the same way, the penalty for all sins has been paid for. When our Lord Jesus went to the cross and died, he died for the sins of the world. His atoning work was unlimited in scope and sufficiency. The debt has been paid by God himself. Forgiveness is declared, but it must be received to be effective. The wicked slave did not repent and truly receive forgiveness, as his actions and attitude proved. And the fact that the king calls him a wicked slave is another indication that he represents an unbeliever. The Lord will never call one of his own a wicked slave. True believers will lose reward at the judgment seat of Christ, lose out on what could have been. But the Lord will never call a true believer a wicked slave. Therefore, the prison and torture here represent hell in the parable. The unforgiving spirit of the man was evidence that he had not really repented and was not a true servant. An unforgiving spirit is severely judged by our Heavenly Father. What about practical application? Make sure of your salvation. Make sure of your salvation. Verse 35, once again. So my Heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. This scripture is not saying that you can lose your salvation if you don't forgive your brother. Scripture must harmonize with Scripture. And the Scriptures clearly teach that true believers cannot lose their salvation. But this Scripture is certainly a warning to believers to examine our hearts and make sure of our salvation. Remember, Judas was listening to the Lord give this parable, and he failed the test of verse 35. What about you here this morning? Have you truly received the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Are you willing to take that first step and forgive your erring brother or sister from your heart? To say that you can forgive but not forget may be an indication that you are unwilling to forgive. A true believer is willing to forgive. Make sure of your salvation.